This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further in the Psalter, picking up with Psalms 103 and 104. As a father, his kingdom rules over all, clothed with splendor and majesty, wine to gladden, and I will sing while I have being. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, as your only begotten Son was this day presented in the temple in the substance of our flesh, grant that we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The epistle for the purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took them up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all
Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. When we consider the ceremonial law of the Old Testament, we should recall that the ceremonial laws are a shadow or a pattern or example of the heavenly things and the things to come that are revealed in the New Testament. For example, St. Paul says in Colossians 2 that dietary laws and festivals are a shadow of the substance that belongs to Christ and are fulfilled in him. Hebrews 8 through 10 repeats the theme over and over and says in a few places explicitly that the law and the tabernacle and its appointments are a schematic and a shadow of the heavenly reality that is in Christ. Thus, it is completely consistent for the Lord to demand something according to the ceremonial law, to demand bodily sacrifices and the shedding of blood, not because they are meritorious works, but as teachings and schematics and patterns of what Christ alone himself accomplishes in his ministry, especially through his teaching, suffering, death, and resurrection. So on the one hand, the Lord can demand daily burnt offerings. He can demand sin offerings. He can demand an offering for a woman's purification after childbirth, or the redemption payment of 5 shekels for the firstborn, while also saying, as he does in the Psalms, that sacrifice and offering you did not desire, or I will not take a bull from your house. Because it is, after all, not the sacrifice or the bull that is accomplishing the forgiveness of sins, but even Christ himself, who would come as the Messiah also for God's people of the Old Testament. And so these ceremonial laws preach and teach and stir up faith for Israel. And so as they remain also for us in our Holy Scriptures, they also do the same. They also teach us. They are a pattern. They are an example of the things that have come in Christ. And so we know that Christ has offered his body as the one true sacrifice, the sacrifice of propitiation, the redemption from sin, And we can see then in the pattern of the many things of the Old Testament, and we can be enlightened and our understanding increased and our faith also increased then by a meditation on these ceremonial laws. So what is it of the presentation of the firstborn that we can learn? There are a few passages in the Old Testament that refer to this. First of all, the Lord says that he brought his people Israel out of Egypt by the strength of his hand, by slaying the firstborn of Egypt. And you recall, of course, that it was not just the firstborn of Egypt that were due to be slayed, that were due to be, in that sense, killed because of bondage to sin, because of wickedness, but indeed even the firstborn of all of Israel. They, however, by the mercy of God, by the offering instead of the Passover lambs, by the spilling of the blood over the door, became a cleansing sacrifice so that the firstborn were spared and the Lord passed over. So we can see that the redemption of the firstborn is tied to the shedding of the blood of the Passover lamb. And so it is for us, as Christ is our Passover lamb, his blood is shed to protect us and to redeem us from the bondage of sin that we suffer. Also, in the book of Numbers, the Lord says, "On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel." And he goes on to talk about how the firstborn were to be his. They have been sanctified, and so in that sense, they are to be dedicated to him as ministry, as a minister to serve in his house. But in their place, then, he takes all of the Levites instead of the firstborn from all of the tribes. So those then who are sanctified by the shedding of blood also become ministers in the house of God. And so indeed we can see these things fulfilled in Christ. Christ, the firstborn, we can even see the language in Colossians, of all creation, or the firstborn from the dead. He is in fact our leader in all things, even though he is born in time. He is the firstborn of our generation, and as the firstborn, he stands in, he is designated as our head. He is the one who accomplishes things for our whole generation, that is, the generation of all who believe in whatever time or place they might be. And so it is, just as the firstborn is the strength of the Father, just as the firstborn is the one who will receive the inheritance of the Father and use it for the benefit of all, just as the firstborn is the one who will rule over the nation, so we see in Christ that he accomplishes these things for us. He, the true firstborn, takes upon all rule and authority and dominion and stewardship, and he uses and accomplishes these things in his ministry for our benefit. How does he do this? He does this in many ways, of course, by exerting his power providentially for our benefit in this life, but chiefly he does it through the shedding of his blood, which is seen again in the shedding of the blood of the Passover lambs. As he sheds his blood, he pays the price for our sin. He releases us from the bondage of sin. He cleanses and forgives us, and indeed even sanctifies us. In his ministry, he accomplishes the salvation that the Father has desired for all of his children. There's an interesting note at the end of Leviticus where there's a discussion of the many ways that people and animals can be redeemed by various kinds of payments. And there's just a verse there where the Lord says, those things that are clean and devoted to the Lord, such as sheep, calves, clean animals, cattle, and so forth, not the unclean animals, but the clean animals, they cannot be redeemed. They cannot be redeemed. There's nothing that can be exchanged for them. Unclean animals and the firstborn of men, these are to be redeemed. But those that are clean, those are the Lord's, and they cannot be exchanged for anything. And so it is, we can see and recognize in this that even as our Lord is presented in the temple and all things are done according to the law, that he is presented and presumably then, because the law is followed, redeemed through the payment of the 5 shekels, nevertheless, there is nothing that actually can be exchanged to take him out of his ministry, for he is clean. He is, in fact, holy for us. And so the Lord says, whatever is attempted to be presented as an exchange for something that is mine, that also will become holy, but it does not take away or redeem that which is mine in the first place. And so it is that although there is a redemption price paid for the Lord, he himself remains holy, he remains in the ministry, and he accomplishes us for us our salvation. This is done through his ministry by entering into the holy place, as we heard in Hebrews, as a propitiation for sin by the shedding of blood. What is it that strikes your conscience? What is it that burdens you? What sins assail you? All of these have been purified in Christ. You have been bought out of the bondage of sin. Does your conscience distress you? Do the sins that continue, into which you continue to be tempted, into which you fall into, do these trouble you? Are you afraid of condemnation? Do not be afraid. Look to Christ, our Passover Lamb, the one who has been, who redeemed us by carrying out his ministry, who has cleansed us from sin, and more than just cleansed us, but has made us holy and has restored us to our Father, so that we also, as his brethren, he being the firstborn and the minister for our generation, he also has brought us, his brethren, into this ministry, restored us, and now he makes us participants with him in that life with God. Your sins are forgiven, you are redeemed from bondage, you are restored and reconciled to the Father, and he has now granted you a joyous ministry of praise and thanksgiving, where you give testimony and confession to the wonderful works and great works of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Look to your brother, Jesus Christ. Look to that firstborn who now gives his body to you again this day as an atoning sacrifice, the benefits given to you, the blood poured out to purify your heart and to cleanse you and to bring you again to his Father. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, who enlightens the darkness of this world, let us pray for the church and for all who are in need. For all believers, that they may look to God's promise, seek the kingdom of heaven, and faithfully serve their Lord and Master. And for the people of our congregations, that they may grow in purity of heart and in the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord. For the leaders of the nations, that they may curb the wicked, restrain persecution, and raise up peacemakers. And for our own country, that it may have good government, prosper in its commerce, and foster caring communities, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are poor and downtrodden, those who hunger and thirst, those who seek shelter and protection, those who seek employment and security, and for those who lack friendship and community, that God would raise up his mighty arm and bring them relief, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who are hospitalized, ill, or recovering at home, that they may know the Lord's presence, find healing and new strength, and once again return to God's house, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who rejoice in the goodness of the Lord, that they may continue to give him thanks for his boundless mercy and faithfully serve in their various callings, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who this day receive the body and blood of Jesus in this holy supper, that they may go forth in peace, devoting themselves to one another, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, grant that your kingdom may continually come among us, so that by your mercy we may be blessed in heart and spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
thank you.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper, you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. holy body and the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep you strong and steadfast in the one true faith, now and unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.